Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 3 days away to the tip-off of the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. Our VOA basketball fans will remember the league was originally scheduled to begin play in March 2020, but competition was postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Our VOA basketball fans will also be pleased to know the Voice of America is an official broadcast partner of the new Basketball Africa League, or BAL. The Voice of America will be broadcasting the BAL games throughout Africa during the two-week tournament. One of the top basketball officials in West Africa is Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Colonel Sam, "What message do you have for the 12 BAL teams that will be on the court in Kigali?"
"My message to the teams participating in the inaugural Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda, is that every participant should strive for the best. In striving for the best, they should play within the spirit of sportsmanship and endeavor to give the game the positive image that it deserves. Despite the prize money attached to the competition, it should not be a win at all costs syndrome. By that, I mean every team should win within the ambits of the rules of the game. This way, there will be more confidence built on the league, and we can then have a good direction moving forward. Overall, I wish all the teams the best."
Are there teams from FIBA Zone 3 participating in the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League? What are their chances?
In this competition, River Supers of Port Harcourt is representing Nigeria and also representing FIBA Africa Zone 3. I had the opportunity of visiting the team in their training camp in Lagos, Nigeria, where I donated balls and some other incentives on behalf of FIBA Africa Zone 3 to the team. It is my belief that they have a very good chance based on the recruitment that they have made and based on the spirit. I have no doubt that River Supers will do well, starting from the opening game on the 16th. Because they play the opening game against the host on the 16th of May. And I'm sure that the team will be up to the task.
Do you think organizers of the Basketball Africa League should increase the number of participating teams in future tournaments?
I do strongly believe and recommend that the number of teams in the Basketball Africa League should be increased. Having only 12 teams playing in Africa, it's not the best, so to speak, in the sense that we have over 52 countries in Africa, and a lot of them have national federations that also have their own national league. Also, 6 teams were picked automatically based on their basketball pedigree. Having picked those six teams, the drawback is that the other good teams in from their countries that came second in their leagues are left out. And some of these teams are better than some of the teams that didn't qualify automatically but had to go and play playoffs through their zones. So, for example, a second team from Nigeria is actually better than a second team from Niger. But in this case, the first team haven't qualified from Nigeria, automatically the second team has no chance to play in the bar. And for what it is worth, it is clear that the organizers of bar want a high level of the game, which can be facilitated by the second place team from either Nigeria or Angola or Tunisia or Senegal or Morocco, as the case may be. So therefore, I would strongly recommend that the teams participating in the BAL proper should be increased. On the other hand, if this is not practicable, then I would recommend that a second tier league be created to also create rooms for the likes of the teams from the countries that I just mentioned. And maybe in the long run, we can start thinking of promotion from that second tier to the, we can start thinking of how to run the two tiers side by side or one after the other. But overall, 12 teams for BAL in the whole continent like Africa is not enough. Even though for a start, we can make do with the 12. But thereafter, we have to find a way to increase the teams in BAL or create a second tier.
That's Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Colonel Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from the southern U.S. city of Atlanta, Georgia.
This is Colonel Sam Amadou, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam. And I hope you have a good day, too. In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, Brooklyn Nets star James Harden returned to the court in victorious fashion after an 18-game injury absence. Harden had been sidelined because of a leg injury, but he played a key role in Brooklyn's victory over the visiting San Antonio Spurs. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
James Harden provided 18 points and 11 assists as the Nets earned a 128-116 win over the Spurs. Harden came off the bench in an NBA game for the first time since winning the league's Sixth Man Award for Oklahoma City in 2011-2012. He also had 7 rebounds after the longest layoff of his career, missing more than a month with a strained right hamstring.
I didn't know how, especially coming off the bench, not playing the first quarter, and having to stay warm and do all the things necessary to go out there and you know, be my best. I just have to go out there and just play with confidence and do what I do.
Landry Shamet scored 21 points, and Nicholas Claxton had a career-high 18 for the Nets, who have won 3 straight since a 4-game skid to pull within 1.5 games of the 76ers for the Eastern Conference lead. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Portland Trailblazers improved their playoff position with a 5th consecutive victory, a road win against the Utah Jazz. The AP's Jim Bernard reports.
The Portland Trailblazers continued their late season push with a 105-98 win over the Utah Jazz. Damian Lillard led Portland with 30 points as the Trailblazers have now won 5 straight and 9 of their last 10 games.
The way we've been playing over the last few weeks has been just our best basketball. We've been defending. We've been sharing the ball. And I think we've been able to sustain that level of focus and that level of play.
C.J. McCollum added 26 points, while Yusuf Nurkic had a double-double with 15 rebounds and 11 points. He also blocked 4 shots. Rudy Gobert grabbed 20 rebounds and scored 15 points for the Jazz.
They made everything harder for us, and they played very physical. You know, it was harder for us to do what we wanted to do.
Jordan Clarkson topped Utah in scoring with 29, but the Jazz missed 28 of the 43-point shots they attempted during the game. I'm Jim Bernard.
Thanks, Jim. Even though they lost Wednesday night, the Jazz still have the NBA's best record, 50 wins and 20 losses. The NBA playoffs begin on May 22nd, but this season, the NBA will have a play-in tournament. to determine the teams that will fill the seventh and eighth playoff seeds in each conference. The two most successful teams in NBA history, the Boston Celtics and the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers, could both be in that play-in tournament. The Celtics lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers Wednesday night, 102-94, and that means Boston will be involved in that four-team play-in. And while the Lakers won Wednesday night, a 124-122 victory against the Houston Rockets, they're currently in seventh place in the Western Conference, meaning the Lakers would have to be in the play-in competition if the season ended today. The play-in begins on May 18th. The Lakers won Wednesday night without injured stars LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I know Lakers fans want to see LeBron and AD healthy as they try to defend their NBA title. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. In African men's football news, Ghana has scheduled friendly matches next month against Morocco and Ivory Coast. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
The Ghana Football Association has lined up two friendlies for the Black Stars after FIFA and CAF decided to reschedule the African qualifiers for the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 that were due to be played in June 2021. The Black Stars in a doubleheader will face the Atlas Lions of Morocco on June 8 in Rabat, and will host the Elephants of Ivory Coast on June 12 at Cape Coast Stadium. As part of preparations for the two games, the head coach of Ghana's senior national team, C.K. Akonol, announced a provisional 30-man squad at the press conference in Accra. The Black Stars coach, after releasing his provisional team, appealed to the media.
We need all of you, your support. The negativity is just too much. And so I plead with you. I'm not asking you. I'm pleading to all of you, to stop the negativity. Start believing in us. Start believing and be positive about the things we do. When I was growing up as a footballer, it was you guys who made me great. All of you here. Well, probably at the time when I was playing, most of you would not be. The likes of Kwabena Yeboa, Kartufo, they encouraged us. This time around, things have changed, and I plead with all of you to be positive. Yes, there are negative in what we do. Criticize us positively, and we'll find the right channel to go about this. But everything is achievable.
That was Black Stars head coach C.K. Akono. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. Let's stay in Accra now. Yawafusu Larbi has a report from Ghana's capital on the recent draw for the qualifying competition of the 2022 Women's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Morocco. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Ahead of the Africa Women's Cup of Nations to be hosted in Morocco in 2022, A draw has been done for countries to know who they play against in the preliminary round of the qualifiers scheduled to begin in June 2021. There have been some interesting pairings. North African rivals Egypt and Tunisia will play each other. Uganda will also face their East African counterparts Ethiopia. Liberia will face Senegal. South Africa are set to face Mozambique. And winners in 2012, Equatorial Guinea, will take on the DR Congo. But the biggest fixture at this stage of the competition is 11-time winners of the competition, Nigeria, taking on neighbours Ghana. The Super Falcons of Nigeria have long been the most successful country in women's football on the continent. The Black Queens of Ghana have been one of their biggest challenges, but they have always played second fiddle to the Nigerian team. With the draw done, Super Falcons coach Randy Waldron admits it will be a tough game.
I think you always embrace the challenge. You know, I mean, obviously the draw is a difficult draw. We have a lot of respect for Ghana, and we know the strength and power of that team. But as far as the pressure of the job and the task at hand, I think that's something that any competitor truly embraces. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I'm just ready to get to work.
Ghana's first women's football trophy came at the All-Africa Games in 2015, and the woman who guided them to the coveted prize is still coach of the team. Mercy Tego says she's excited to have drawn Nigeria at this stage of the qualifiers and says she will do everything to make sure the Queens qualify to the next stage of the major qualifiers.
At long last, the draw has been made, and we are so pleased and happy to have a team in the zone of Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire. All the big goals are there, and when it comes like this, when things like this happens, it gives you the strength to work extra hard. When Ghana is meeting Nigeria, it's like a tug of war. Nigeria respects Ghana, just like the coach said, and Ghana also respects Nigeria so much, but we need to put in more effort so that we'll be able to be abreast with whatever plans that we have. So for now, we are happy. We have the draw. We need to go and prepare well to meet Nigeria. It's unfortunate that our first game, we are meeting Nigeria, but nothing is impossible.
The preliminary qualifying games of the Africa Women's Cup of Nations will begin on June 7, 2021. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yaofu Sulabi in Accra.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. In European football, the British clubs Chelsea and Manchester City will cross Portugal's border for the UEFA Champions League final on May 29th. European football's ruling body, UEFA, announced Thursday the final has been moved from Istanbul, Turkey, to Porto in Portugal to allow English fans to travel under COVID-19 restrictions. Last week, Turkey was put on Britain's travel red list, meaning no English fans would be able to attend the match in Istanbul. It will now be held in the home stadium of FC Porto in Portugal. The stadium has a seating capacity of about 50,000, but the final capacity for the final has not yet been confirmed. UEFA says Chelsea and Man City will each receive 6,000 tickets, which were expected to go on sale Thursday. Now, there were talks to move the UEFA Champions League final to London's Wembley Stadium, but UEFA said, and I quote, "Despite exhaustive efforts on the part of the English Football Association and the authorities, it was not possible to achieve the necessary exemptions from UK quarantine arrangements." Once again, the all-British UEFA Champions League final between Man City and Chelsea will be held on May 29th in Porto, Portugal.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
More African football news. 24 teams will compete in next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Now, two of the teams, Gambia and Comoros, will be making their debuts at the African football showpiece. Gambia's qualification set off celebrations in the country in this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation. Pandari Mbai reports. Sporty greetings, Pandari.
Sporting greetings, Sunny. Football fans outside the Independence Stadium in Bakau, where they celebrated Gambia's football victory against Angola. The Scorpions defeated Angola 1-0. The West African country is now qualified to take part in the African Cup of Nations finals. Tom Senfed is the coach for Gambia's national team, the Scorpions.
First of all, I have to say that I'm very proud to be coach of Gambia. When I got appointed, I said that we can qualify for big tournaments. At that moment, no one believed me. 2 years ago, in the last match, if we had won Algeria, we would be qualified. Today, before the last match, we are qualified.
Senfed went further to commend the players for bringing Gambia's name into the world map.
I'm proud of my players. The players I know can do the job. I know football is a sport where everyone has an opinion, but not everyone is an experienced, qualified coach in African football. And coaches take decisions based on facts, not emotions. And the boys prove it day in, day out.
This is the first time in Gambia's sports history that the country is qualified to take part in Africa's Cup of Nations finals. Babacar Camara is the director of marketing and communications at the Gambia Football Federation.
As a federation, we would like to congratulate the Scorpions and coach, the entire technical team, for securing this monumental feat, a historic moment for Gambian football. The whole country was united today, would like to thank and recognize the effort of everyone involved in this historic moment for our football.
Gambian football star Assan Cisse scored the goal that led to Gambia's victory.
Now, the importance of this qualification cannot be overemphasized. It means a lot, and it is going to be a game changer for Gambian football. Gambian football, by the time the tournament begins in 2022, it would have been almost 70 years since the formation of association football in the Gambia. A team has never secured qualification to the Africa Cup of Nations. But hey, here we are finally securing that.
Camara is optimistic about Gambia's prospects of making it in the upcoming African Cup of Nations finals.
Yes, the prospects are very, very, very high. Now, this team and this current generation of players have played one of the top teams across the globe. For the past 2 years, Algeria has defeated at least once every opponent that they have come across, except the Gambia.
Meanwhile, the Liverpool striker Sadio Mane has congratulated the Gambian team for its historic victory. For the Sunny Side of Sports, This is Pandering by reporting.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
With 71 days until the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Games, IOC officials remain adamant the Olympics will go ahead, even though there are major coronavirus concerns in Japan. Joining us once again is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. A state of emergency has been extended for a third time in Japan in an effort to control a daily surge of coronavirus infections. The extension and rise in positive cases have forced International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach to postpone an upcoming visit to Japan. The cancellation comes less than 3 months before the start of the Tokyo Games. And in a news conference from Switzerland, IOC spokesman Mark Adams told reporters plans are still moving forward, full steam ahead.
But we are fully concentrated now in this last implementation phase of delivering excellent games, which really will bring the world together, which really will mark a moment, I think, and something that we're all looking forward to. There are a lot of sporting events going on around the world now, and I think this one will be kind of the real tentpole moment that will bring the world together.
Wednesday's news conference was interrupted by an anti-Olympic protester who, instead of asking a question, profanely chanted, "No Olympics anywhere." His outburst echoes that of nearly 60% of the country's population who want the Olympics either canceled or postponed. But Mark Adams believes those opinions will soon change.
Public opinion and polling does change quite radically. And in these current circumstances, I think you will see swings. Certainly a swing from 8 years ago when Tokyo was chosen. And we know that the games then were incredibly popular, and the Japanese people were really keen to host those games. I think we need to keep now, with 78 days to go, we need to keep our eyes very much on what will eventually be, I think, a key moment for the world and for the Japanese people, who will be very proud to have been able to host it, I think.
On Wednesday, Tokyo 2020 President Seiko Hashimoto emphasized that any anti-Olympic sentiment should not be directed at the athletes themselves. Over 10,000 competitors are expected to touch down in Tokyo this summer, with around 70% already qualified for the Games. The Japanese government is preparing to give about 2,500 Olympic and Paralympic athletes and support staff priority over their vaccines. But with only 2.6% of Japan's population vaccinated so far, that decision has angered many citizens. But Mark Adams says inoculating a majority of athletes will ensure overall public safety.
We're working flat out to try to help as many athletes who wish to be vaccinated. We estimate that a large majority of those in the Olympic Village will be vaccinated. And I think that's a very clear message also for the Japanese people, that they will know that not just the athletes, but all those entourage support people who have to be in the village too, we know a large proportion will be vaccinated. I won't give you a figure, but it's a large and growing number.
Last weekend, hundreds of athletes from around the world participated in a test event at Olympic Stadium that allowed organizers to fine-tune safety protocols leading up to the Summer Games. But despite its success, the U.S. track and field team have decided to cancel its pre-Olympic training camp in Japan this July due to safety concerns. That announcement coincides with news that top executives with Toyota Motor Corporation, a sponsor of the Tokyo Games, are concerned about growing public frustration and conflicted over the best course of action. Mark Adams says the IOC will stay in talks with their Japanese partners, and the success of past test events proves the Olympic Games can be held safely. And those games are still set to take place as scheduled on July 23rd in Tokyo. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the May 13th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.